Hello, my name is Mercury, and welcome to this brand new episode of Media Buffet. I'm joined by nobody, and you're probably wondering, what the hell happened? Where have you been for the past month and a week, almost? Yeah, actually. So life happened, pretty much. We were, I wanted to say, torn apart, more like separated because of school, and we've just been kind of busy with life and stuff, so that's why I haven't seen an upload or an episode in over a month. But hopefully, we'll finally be here and be able to do more episodes from now on. There have been some new developments as of yet, such as the fact that we have two new members that should be coming very soon, maybe later on, sometime. I don't know what they're gonna be referred to us in the podcast, but hopefully something nice that isn't bad or anything. But yeah, so they should appear later on, maybe in What If or Liquid episodes. We're gonna try to get all the episodes that we've promised done. Black Widow ended. I recently posted something on the Twitter, so you know, about Hawkeye. How that's been moved away from the December 29th release, which means that it should release on New Year's Eve. And New Year's Eve. Christmas Eve. So from one Eve to the next. One Eve to the next. One Eve to the last. Yeah, one Eve to the last. So, yeah, expect the Hawkeye episode 1 on Christmas Eve. We won't be recording Christmas Eve, obviously. We won't be recording Christmas Eve. So, yeah. We'll be recording the day before or maybe the day that the episode releases. Or the Hawkeye episode releases. I don't know. But it'll be out around Christmas time. Maybe it comes out on November 25th. Maybe the later day. I don't know. So yeah, there are a lot of episodes coming out. They're supposed to come out. We have an episode covering the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. I know it's old news, but I believe Spider-Man No Way Home is still relevant because it was like, oh, what the hell is this? I think people will be excited to see Spider-Man No Way Home and us covering the trailer and what we think will happen. Anyways, so there's that. Our What If episode, Black Widow episode, Shang-Chi episode, let's come out, and it will come out on this episode on November 12th. We will do a media consumers probably on the 29th, or no, 28th, we'll probably do I made a consumers. I'll be discussing some things, so it should come out. What is that? Actually, no, 29th. Yeah, 29th. On 29th. Sometime, like 2 weeks from now. So, yeah. Anyways, that's not really the point of this episode. To be discussing Star Wars Visions. This is also old news, but we have to get it out. I'm the only one who's ever watched it in the podcast crew. So, Star Wars Visions is an anime. Of course, it's an anime. That is about Star Wars. But not just about Star Wars. It's about multiple studios doing Star Wars stories for themselves. And they conclude some very nice studios. I don't know them all from the top of my head, but I can name some, such as Studio Trigger, Science Saru. That's pretty much such as those. But they all came together and they did a brand new series. I don't know how many episodes. Well, I think it's eight episodes, maybe seven. I think it was nine episodes. Just full of Star Wars anime content. Now, were these episodes good. They weren't all one story. They were like the Halo Legends series, where it's different studios doing different stories in the Star Wars universe or in the Halo universe. So, which ones are good and which ones are bad? A lot of them were good. A lot of the stories were good. I was impressed with a lot of the stories. My favorite being the first one. The first episode was fantastic. I loved it. The trigger, the first trigger episode was good. The second trigger episode was okay. I guess. I don't resonate with that episode a lot. I liked a lot the Village Bride episode. Really enjoyed that one. Especially the character, the main character. I forgot her name. It's, I think, one letter. That's her name. But yeah. So, we enjoyed those. Still, a lot of them were okay. Which ones I didn't enjoy? I did enjoy the Toby or T0B1 episode. I didn't enjoy that one as much. The second episode, I didn't enjoy it as much. Third episode, I think, was Trigger. I was completely lost in the ninth. And yeah, it's just, there are some things wrong with this series, but you know, it's not my problem. It's the writers. And I feel like the writers needed to do a better job. I watched it all on I watched it all in Japanese. I got a lot of the what the original vision was. So, you know, I actually really enjoyed the Ninth Jedi as well. The Elder was kind of like, eh. Lupin Ocho, eh. Tatooine Rhapsody, eh. Again, T0B1, eh. Oh, but here, I completely forgot. Well, if you wonder the other studios, I'm here on the wiki right now. Kamikaze Douga, or Douga, made the first episode. Studio Colorido made the second. Trigger made the third and the seventh. Kinema Citrus made the fourth. Crush and IG made the fifth. And Science Saru made the sixth, ninth, and then Geno Studio made the eighth. So yeah. I really enjoyed some of the episodes that diverge a lot more from the typical thing. There's a major critique I have, which I think I should cover. I should really cover. This episode's gonna be pretty short. I don't think I'm gonna do that much here. I'm gonna explain what I don't like and what I do like. I like the art styles on the episodes. I find the duel to be amazing. There are some parts that I think are confusing. And there are some concepts here that I think are taken from Legends. So yeah, I don't know if all of the things in this one are considered canon. I don't think they are. I think they might be part of Legends. And this is like the first Legends thing in like a decade. But yeah. What else? What else? I can go on. But I didn't like Akakiri, the ninth episode. I got really lost in the first time. And then a second time, I again didn't really understand it that much. Where you get from point A to point B. It's really confusing. I didn't like that episode. It's the only episode I didn't really like. I know it probably has a bunch of. It was pretty basic. And there is the major critique I have of this, and that's the fact that this entire series is revolved around Jedi or the Force. And now, there are a lot of things in the Star Wars universe that don't involve directly with the Force or the Jedi or the Sith. But what the hell? What in the actual fuck? You know? Like, okay. So, every episode has something to do with a Jedi or the Force. Or something that isn't a Jedi, but it's the Force. Or retired Jedi. There are a lot of problems with the universe. Like I said, they don't involve the Force. And I wish they could have explored that more. I don't know, an episode of Mandalore. Like, the Clone Wars did it best, where not every episode had to do directly with the Force. There could be Force users, but the Force wasn't really a part of the story. Or had Jedi, or didn't have any Jedi yet. But had Master Stewart Jedi. You can do that. But it's just all of the episodes had to do with a Jedi or the Force. And I felt that really, really, really uninspired. Because it shows that we... I think we can't have... makes me think that we can't have anything that isn't the Force, or the Jedi, or the Sith. To make it interesting, we can. Mandalore. Anything about the Clone Wars. Maybe... something wasn't done in Clone Wars. I don't know. The Bad Batch is a good example of something good to do, and you don't need the Force to do it. I don't think there was a single Force user in that entire series. A single one. And I find that I'm surprised that I even said it, like, oh, there's no Force users in this series at all. I'm pretty sure there is no Force users. Yeah, there is no Force users. So, you know, maybe in the second season, of course, but yeah. In Mandalorian, it still revolves around the Force, so. But isn't always about the Force. I can sort of pardon that. The episode, there's something like, okay, I can't excuse it being not of the Force, but it still has to do with a lot of Jedi. Jedi are almost in every episode, but the Force isn't a lot more. So, yeah, I don't have a lot to talk about. I don't want to go into a lot of the episodes because they're not worth talking about. There's, oh, Toby, they're all about becoming Jedi, becoming themselves, and it's always ended up sort of happy ending. One is the ninth one, which ends in a bad ending. I think that one's interesting, but it's okay. Okay, bad, is it? It's a bad episode. Where the Jedi is tempted because he is attracted to this person, and he turns to the dark side. I find that interesting, but not enough. It's a concept to make a good episode, and execution makes a good episode. And I don't think it's good to well because I got completely lost. La Panocho again. I think that one was like the most why episode. Because I had to erase those attributed to one being in the entirety. And it's the same as T0B1, where it's this person who they become a Jedi. But it's sort of structured differently. When you reach that point, which I can excuse. But there's a lot of them like, oh, become a Jedi. The first one is so much interesting about this. Not Sith Hunter, but still use the dark side to a point. So I think he should be like a dark Jedi. And the novel explains it so very well. Where he uses, it's a hilt. He uses a samurai hilt. Why? Because the lightsaber is broken. And it will never, it doesn't turn off. I find it really interesting. The Sith Hunter, I don't know why he's a Sith Hunter. I've read the Ronin novel. I am planning to get it for myself, but I don't know. So there's a lot of cool concepts here, but they're not there for me, you know what I'm saying. Star Wars Visions is a great series. It's a good series that I wish, that I hope you guys, you check out and you tell yourself to this. These stories are far more unique than what you can imagine, unless you dig deep into it. If you dig deep into it, you'll find some similarities. But that's not the matter. So, I don't have much to say about the series. I just hope you're glad we're back. We'll have more episodes, maybe more substantial episodes, longer episodes. So, yeah.
Hello, my name is Mercury, and welcome to this brand new episode of Media Faye. Today, I'm Alan Tully. I'll be discussing the second volume for Star Wars Visions. So, yes, it's been quite a while since this came out, and it's been quite a a long time since the episode on Star Wars Visions came out for Volume 1. That was October of last year. Of not last year, of 2021. It was our first episode after a long hiatus from August to October. There was one episode at another time, but whatever. So yeah, this is we're back. This is going to be probably the penultimate installment of our Star Wars 2023 coverage. I am pretty sure that I'm pretty sure that there will be nothing coming out after this. I'm like pretty sure. So, yeah. Before we begin with the coverage on the series, I would like to say something. We won't be covering the other thing that premiered on Star Wars Day this year, the other Star Wars series that premiered this year, which was Young Jedi Adventures. Now, why am I not covering Young Jedi Adventures? Pretty simple. We're only covering things that are on Disney Plus, which, I mean, Young Jedi Adventures is on Disney Plus. It is exclusive to Disney Plus. It is one of Disney Plus exclusives, but it's also Disney Junior, and it is not canon. So yeah, it's not canon. So I won't care that it's out or anything. It's just not canon, which means that I don't have to care about it. Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's not canon, and it's not Disney Plus exclusive. So that means I don't have to care about it, which is honestly a pretty good thing, I would say. I don't have to care about this thing I don't want to cover because it's a kids show. That's not canon. That is not a Disney Plus exclusive, which means I don't have to cover for the podcast. It's kind of on the same wavelength as like the other DC series that are out that aren't part of either the Matt Reeves Batman universe or DCU. So I don't have to cover them. Like, you know, Titans or whatever. It is kind of the same length as the Lego Star Wars things. So yeah. I don't have to cover these. So what am I gonna do? So yeah. I'm not gonna cover Young Jedi Adventures. We're not gonna cover that. That's not being covered at all. And Visions will be covered. Everything that's coming out for Visions will be covered. Later. Everything. Because Disney Plus exclusive. It's a Disney Plus original. And Young Jedi technically isn't. So yeah. That's why we won't cover Young Jedi Adventures. It's not canon. It's not Disney Plus exclusive. It's just not important. And you can say that Visions is also not important. Visions is cool. And that's why I cover Visions. You know, it's cool. So let's continue. Alright. So, again, bringing out the notepad, which now I have things to talk about for this. And yeah, let's start off with the first point, which is the different animation styles. Now, this is something I think I covered last time with the volume one, but the last time it was mostly just anime. Everyone involved in Visions was an anime studio. It was a Japanese studio, which specialized, you know, in anime. And there were some really cool art styles in there. Like the first one, which was the duo, was it was a It was black and white, but the kyber crystals, but the lightsabers were colored. And there were a lot of interesting things, but in Volume 2, since now it's evolved to the point where there's people from all around the world going around. There's no Japanese studio in here. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no Japanese studio here. It's all different. It's all different from what I'm pretty sure. Like the one, I think the biggest one here is Aardman, which are the studio behind Wallace and Gromit, which recently are in a bit of a troubling spot. The company that supplies them with clay has shut down, and they're looking, and I think, I mean, this is, they had a plan to have more clay. They have a plan of clay in reserve, and also they have, and they're looking for another, they're looking for, They're looking for another like clay supplier. So, you know, good things for them. I'm for the best for them. But yeah, they animated a thing. They animated a short here, so we're gonna talk about that. But yeah, speaking of Aardman, there are other studios that are in here that also use claymation, or stop motion. I don't know. I think it's claymation. Pretty sure. Stop motion and clay animation. I'm just gonna call it claymation. The one they made, Aardman made, is I Am Your Mother, which is more in line with more in line with their Wallace and Gromit work, like Wallace and Gromit. But then there's other things that are also, a short tier that use stop motion as well. There is, I think the one made by, the third one, I'm in the Stars or whatever, Punk Robot. I think the name is Punk Robot, and it's Punk Robot Studio. Animation Studio. They're Chilean, huh? I can't see if they also use stop motion for their short. To me, it looks like they did. It looks like they did use stop motion. But I'm not sure. If this shit would load. But it looks to me like they used stop motion or something that very much looks like it, but it also looks like claymation. But it looks like that. And it's very unique. They have it's they're a very unique take on this. Yeah, it's called In the Stars. I'm not sure. Hold on. I can't see. I don't know. I can't see if they use stop motion, but very much looks like it. And the last one, Owl Song, is also stop motion, but this one's really cool. Owl Song is really cool. I love Owl Song. I haven't watched this since May. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember much, but I remember I really liked this one. And yeah, like the different animations. There's also a bunch of 3D ones, but there are some really cool ones. There is, I think Sith is 3D. The first one, Sith. And that's really cool because it has like this. It has this like painting art style, and there's different things here that you can see in. And there's different There's different ways of interpreting things, and the lightsaber is really cool in there. Another one's 3D is the Bandits of Golak. I remember this one. And Bandits of Golak is really just me because it looks like a Star Wars, like a Star Wars Clone Wars type episode, and it's really cool to see that. So yeah, I mean, very, very different art styles in here, and they all look really good. The 2D ones are also really good. The Screecher's Reach has like the Sith monster or the Sith mother. I don't know, it has a Sith mother, I think. They have like the Sith monster or something. I think one of them. But like there's like one with a Sith monster or whatever, and oh, the ghost. Yeah, and that's really cool. The 2D ones. That one's very unique. Looks really cool. Journey to Darkhead is much more anime style, but it looks really good. Spy Dancer is very much artistic. It's much more simplistic. In its art style, but it's very impressive what they do with it. The pit to me looks like, okay, not the dish on it or anything, but it looks like what Boondocks look like, which not bad, but it's certainly different. It's certainly a different take on that whole thing, which, I mean, it still looks good, and I still really like it, but, you know, it works, and right now, we're on the same time length as the first Wishes episode, but we are now on point one, so yeah. Just really impressive art styles, and the art styles are really indicative of the tone of each short, and each short has a different tone, which is my second point, the different tones. Now, most of them end with them, if I at least the ones here. Have a very somber, she has a very somber ending, and In the Stars is a very hopeful ending after being a pretty somber one, which is reflected in the art style. The art style for the Stars is pretty dark. It's a pretty dark art style. not like animation style technically. So it really goes well with that, and if I'm misremembering, I think it turns a little bit brighter at the end. Journey to the Dark Head has a lot of, I remember this one. It's a lot darker mainly because of what. Of what the characters are going through. I and Your Mother is way where Armin is again. Armin, pure. It's like if Armin just made a Star Wars movie, and it's in the lighthearted tone, very like familiar. Familiar, I'm saying like family. It's very from family ties and whatever. So yeah. The Bandits of Golak, it's a lot like I guess in the tones of Clone Wars, so I'm gonna say the pit mostly. Mostly just normal 2D, I guess. And Owl's Song, I never mentioned. I don't think I mentioned Spine Answer, but I mean, it does what it does well. And Screecher's Reach Screecher's doesn't have that much of a big it doesn't have a bright art style, but it does have a lot of gray, which makes sense with what the story is about. So yeah. And Sith is it's just a bunch of colors which look great. But Owl's Song is very bright, but when they get to the cave, it gets super dark and whatever, and it looks great. Also, some of them end up with the with them leaving, which, I mean, like them leaving for like. Jedi training, so yeah. I mean, the ones that leave are Owl's Song, Bandits of Golak, and Screecher's Reach. Those deal with that, like leaving behind, which it all ends pretty somberly. What the fuck was that? It all ends like everyone like, and but what I gotta say is that it all feels different from the other kinds of everyone else leaves, like in Screecher's Reach, the main character leaves with the Sith mother, and her friends leave. Feel betrayed by being left alone in Bats of Golak. It's again like it's just kind of sudden and doesn't. I don't think he knows that, and the brothers don't know how to react. And our song, it's a much more understanding goodbye, I guess. So yeah, it's like it's different. Even though they end similarly, they have different ways of conveying that, which is really really good. And our third point is the unique uses of the Star Wars lore. So it's mostly like a lot of these actually take place during the High Republic. Some of them take place during the Empire Age, some of them after the Empire. Which is, it's really interesting. And the ones that take place during the Empire are mostly
some of them are that deal with the Force are mostly some of them use the Inquisitors, which is something very interesting because the Inquisitors aren't one uses the Inquisitors, which is the Bands of Golak, which is a lot more in line with Star Wars Clone Wars, which, I mean, not bad, but yeah, like, it uses the Inquisitors. The Pit deals with a mining colony is left to die there, so it's not about the Force. But it deals with how the Empire impacted people during the war. We have like Sith outcasts, a bunch of High Republic having a bunch of Siths running around. You know, like it uses the Star Wars lore in very unique ways that really that are really cool and unique uses of the lore that it doesn't get used by the actual Star Wars, what Star Wars, the people who make Star Wars Lucasfilm, they're not using that. So it's really interesting to see this play out like that. But you know, it doesn't. It's too bad it's too short, because I would have liked to see more of these characters. And I know that there is a novel for the Ronin, which I plan to pick up. But yeah, there's that. Next up, the dual short from way back in Volume 1. Next up is also including with Star Wars lore, there's various integration of the cultures that are in here. Now, the ones that are made by, like, specifically, I guess, Bands of Golak is the one that really, and Bands of Golak and In the Stars, those are the ones that really have that the most. This punk robot was inspired by the short was inspired by the genocide of the Selknam people that once lived in Patagonia, which is really interesting to see, like, that being used for inspiration for the Star Wars short. And in Bands of Golak, it is very apparent that it's based, that it has very big influences from Indian culture. Mainly because 88 Pictures, the one who made the short, is an Indian studio, and there's a lot of locations that are very indicative of Indian culture, and the characters have also, like, have Indian influence. So there's that. So it's very interesting to see all these people have this different ways of using both Star Wars lore and integrating their own cultures into this and making something that is really, really good. And it's inspiring for people to have to make to see this and want to make more of it. And that's why there has to be a future, which brings me to my final point for this episode. What is the future of Visions? Is there a future for Visions? I think that there is. I feel like if they keep going this direction, we're having people, companies, studios from around the world independent studios make their own take on the Star Wars mythos. And having them made into, like, award-winning animations, like, for example,
The village bride from the first one is it was played in like cinemas, you know, like I was looking at the cast list, but it was played in cinemas. So yeah, and and here, the one made by Aardman, it won Best Animation in the Venice TV Awards. I am Your Mother specifically, and The Duel was nominated for the Best General Audience Animated Television Production in the Annie Awards, the Outstanding Achievement in Sound Editing Animation Series or Short category in the Golden Reel Awards, and the Outstanding Short Form Animated Program in the Primetime Creative Arts Emmy Awards, and an Emmy. And Star Wars Visions itself was nominated as the Golden Trailer Awards for Best in the Golden Trailer Awards of the Best Animation Family / Family for TV / Streaming Series, in the Kids Screen Awards for the Best New Series and Best Animated Series. All of these nominated. So Star Wars Visions is award winning and possible award winner level of creativity, and I feel like this is something that Lucasfilm should really take into consideration, because it is incredible what people can do here. It's crazy, and I hope that more people, more studios can get the chance on this, because the Star Wars universe, it's so humongous. You can do a lot with it. So, and it's prime for having everybody want to do this. So yeah. Overall, Star Wars Visions Volume 2 is fantastic. Not even talking about the plot of everyone, but everything develops so well. And it's kind of hard to talk about the plot because then I have to go into each one. But everything develops so well. And the characters are engaging. The fact that I want to see more of these characters is great. And I don't think there were any bad ones. I just enjoy how everyone progressed. Different familial things that happen here. The how everything is affected and everything. It's just great. And honestly, something that deserves to be preserved and kept going. I hope that this doesn't end here. I hope that Visions doesn't end in Volume 2. Because Volume 3 is a must. So yeah. What do you guys think about Star Wars Visions Volume 2? Leave in the comments. Follow us on... follow D8 Entertainment / Media Buffet. At @media_buffet on Twitter. At D8 Entertainment with the E at the end on Twitter as well. Media Buffet on Spotify, at DA Entertainment, that whole thing on YouTube, and Media Buffet Bonus / at Media Buffet YT on YouTube. For me, it's Mercury S Cheese on Twitter, Mercury SC on YouTube, and Mercury C Cheese on Twitch. So, that's about it. See ya.